SBS Radio.
A coronial inquest into the death of an Aboriginal man held its first hearing in Melbourne yesterday. Five women from a remote art centre in Arnhem Land exhibit their work in Paris. And the federal government has increased assistance payments to struggling farmers. This is NITV Radio News and my name is Šárka Pechová. A coronial inquest into the death of a Gunai Gundicharama and Wiradjuri man Raymond Noel Lindsay Thomas held its first hearing in Melbourne yesterday. The 29-year-old Raymond Noel Lindsay Thomas passed away in June 2017 after sustaining injuries during a police pursuit near his home. His family was represented at the coronial process by Victorian Aboriginal Legal Services VALS. VALS is requesting examination of the impact of the Victoria Police Pursuit Policy and the adequacy of the police investigation process following Raymond's death. Narita Vaid, CEO of VALS, said that police pursuits and death resulting from police pursuits disproportionately impact upon Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities. The CEO of VALS says that police officers must be provided with clear guidelines on pursuits and community safety must be paramount in any decision to commence a pursuit. A new report has found Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children are now 10 times more likely to be removed from their families compared to their non-Indigenous counterparts. The report from Indigenous rights advocacy group Family Matters also found Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children make up 37.3% of the total out-of-home care population, but only 5.5% of the total population. Family Matters co-chair Richard Weston says it is an issue born out of long-standing issues.
That legacy of stolen generations that's created vulnerability in our families and communities. So when they come to have challenges in their lives, they're less capable, less able to be able to deal with those challenges, and that brings them to the attention of authorities.
The report also warns the number of Indigenous children in care will more than double over the next decade if the disadvantage they experience isn't addressed soon. Traditional owners from the Northern Territory have addressed Origin Energy at their annual meeting in Sydney on Wednesday. Hundreds gathered in Sydney to support the traditional owners from the Northern Territory, urging the company not to follow through with their hydraulic fracking plans. The energy company and Santos have plans to undertake hydraulic fracking in the Beetaloo sub-basin 760 kilometers southeast from Darwin next year. The basin is a home to a vast majority of the Northern Territory's oil and gas fields, with exploration permits granted to Origin Energy that covers 18,500 square kilometres of the Beetaloo area. Gadrian Hussan, a Garwa Yanyuwa man from Borolula in the Northern Territory, stood up to protest on behalf of his people.
We don't want our kid to be left behind with this toxic water. We down here fighting for them. That's what we down here for our future generation.
Chairman of Origin Energy, Gordon Kenz, said to the protesters that the company is doing their best to ensure no harm is done. Hydraulic fracking has the potential to impact water if it is not delivered effectively, as the injection of hydraulic fracking fluids to the rock can release gas that often contains chemicals. Five women from a remote art centre in Arnhem Land exhibit their work in Paris. The women come together at Barbara Women's Centre in Maningrida region to share knowledge and ideas. That's what's led them to set up their main social enterprise, Barbara Designs. They specialise in exquisite handprint textile designs that sell around the world. Inger Johansson is the manager of Barbara Women's Centre in Maningrida region.
The designs can be used for various different things. A lot of people use our fabrics for artwork.
Yeah.
So they hang as a piece of art for a room or in a gallery. So yeah. The designs are really like incredible art in themselves. But obviously being textiles, they can be used on upholstery, on clothing, yeah. On lampshades, on various different things. So they're quite flexible.
The exhibition named Jarachara after the cold wind, which signals the beginning of the dry season in Arnhem Land, celebrates the women's roles as storykeepers and the mixture of cultures at Barbaram. In Paris, the Aboriginal artists have also been involved in panel discussions, spoken to international media, and ran workshops on Indigenous art for children. The federal government has increased assistance payments to struggling farmers. Couples coming off the farm household allowance will now get $13,000 when they reach the allowance's four-year cap, while singles will get $7,500. The government says the changes will vastly improve assistance for farmers. But Labour's agriculture spokesman, Joel Fitzgibbon, says the allowance is inadequate.
This really is approaching a wartime-like situation, and we stand ready to work with him to make the decisions that will be necessary to ensure enough farming families can stay on the land, that rural communities can survive, and we can secure our food sources in this country.
The National Farmers Federation has criticized past and present governments for lacking a comprehensive national plan for when drought hits. Belgian team Agoria has won the World Solar Challenge from Darwin to Adelaide after a dramatic end to the 2019 race. The team claimed victory in the solar-powered car race after defending champions from Netherlands, Vattenfall, were forced to withdraw when its car caught fire about 250 kilometers north of Adelaide. Vattenfall was holding onto a slim lead at the time after a car from another Dutch team crashed out on Wednesday. Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton says he believes Australian war veterans want refugee medical evacuation laws scrapped. Mr. Dutton is locked in negotiations with Tasmanian Senator Jackie Lambie, herself an army veteran, as he seeks to repeal the so-called MEDVAC laws. It is thought Senator Lambie's vote could be key in whether repeal legislation passes the Senate. Mr. Dutton told Macquarie Radio he thinks he's made a compelling case to Senator Lambie as she awaits a committee report.
In a way, she looks through the lens of, well, you know, what would a veteran think, or what would a veteran want me to do in relation to these matters? And I believe very strongly that most Australians, and certainly the vast majority of veterans, would want us to abolish this law.
United States President Donald Trump has hailed a Syria ceasefire agreement as a great day for Turkey and the Kurdish people. Vice President Mike Pence announced the deal after talks with President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. Speaking after their meeting in the capital Ankara, Mr. Pence said Turkey would pause its military operations in the northeast Syria to allow a five-day pullback of Kurdish forces.
All military operations under Operation Peace Spring will be paused, and Operation Peace Spring will be halted entirely on completion of the withdrawal.
Under the ceasefire, recently imposed sanctions on Turkey by the US will also be withdrawn. The Turkish assault has created another humanitarian crisis in Syria with 200,000 civilians fleeing. A security alert over thousands of Islamic State fighters escaping Kurdish jails, and a political storm for Donald Trump. President Trump, who has faced severe criticism for the withdrawal of U.S. troops from the region, says he's confident Turkey will stick to the ceasefire.
I think it's going to last. I think that President Erdogan's very smart. I think he wants it to last. He wants safety for his people. This was a great thing for the Kurds. This was a great thing for Turkey. This is great for everybody. And frankly, the thing that I'm most happy about is that I took a lot of heat, but that we were able to do it so fast. I thought this would go on for longer.
The US president has been accused of abandoning the Kurds, the green light to a Turkey invasion, by pulling out troops. Fiji's public prosecutor says Prime Minister Frank Bainimarama will not face charges for an alleged assault. Double jeopardy rules mean that despite sufficient evidence found, the case will not go to court. In August, the Prime Minister was accused of assaulting an opposition politician outside Parliament. To sport, and in Rugby Union Australia, has received some inside knowledge on its World Cup quarter-final opponents England from one of their former teammates. Wallaby Matt Tumua played with the English fly half George Ford, centre Manu Tuilagi, scrum half Ben Youngs, winger Johnny May, and prop Dan Cole at Leicester Tigers for 3 years. The 29-year-old says they don't have many weaknesses, on field at least.
Manu's a terrible snooker player. George Ford never pays for a beer. Ben Youngs isn't even the best rugby player in his family, so let alone the country. The chicken, Johnny May, very weird, and Dan Cole doesn't have a personality, so just been telling everyone about that. No, look, we obviously had a very good relationship with a lot of the fellas there, and they are, one thing I do know is they're all quality players.
The traditional rivals will clash tomorrow night at the Japanese city of Oita. Melbourne Victory coach Marco Kurs has refused to put a timeline on the recovery of a star signing Robbie Cruz after a hamstring injury ruled him out of the A-League season opener. A fit and firing Cruz is a key component of Kurs' A-League title plans. Victory scraped a scoreless draw in its Melbourne derby against City without their Socceroos attacker, and he will be missing again tonight for the clash with Western Sydney. Kurs says he's unsure when Cruz will be fully recovered.
It's not fair to set up a line, because maybe he comes earlier back, then we are happy. But injuries, they need time, and you don't know what happens the next day. But at the moment he is not available. That means he is injured. And how long? Hopefully not too long.
Let's have a look at the weather today. Broome sunny and max of 35 degrees. Perth mostly sunny and 26. Adelaide partly cloudy and 21 degrees. Melbourne sunny with a late rain and tops of 23 degrees. Hobart showers and wind with a max of 18 degrees. Canberra sunny and 21 degrees. Sydney and Newcastle both pretty much the same, sunny and both tops of 24 degrees. Brisbane sunny and 28. Townsville partly cloudy with the tops of 31 degrees. Cairns partly cloudy and also tops of 31 degrees. Darwin sunny with 35, and Alice Springs partly cloudy with the tops of 34 degrees. sbs.com.au